Salvation is by the grace of God. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." But not everybody is saved. Grace is extended to all men. The grace of God is made available to all men. But not everybody is saved. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Matthew 7, 13, and 14 that most people are lost. Why? Why are some people saved, but others lost? Now, Calvinism says that all of this is God's decision. Calvinism teaches that people are lost because God decides for them to be lost, and that others are saved because God decides for them to be saved. Now, that's pure Calvinism. It's the idea that salvation and damnation are God's decisions, God's will, and not man's. But the Bible plainly denies that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 that God wants all men to be saved. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, the scriptures say that God is not willing that any should perish. So the truth is, the decision is man's. The decision between damnation and salvation is every man's decision. Every man makes his choice. Many refuse to submit to God. Some obey God, and that is a matter of their free will. So there are two different sides, if you will, of salvation. On the one hand, you have God's grace, and this means that you cannot earn it. You cannot on your own save yourself. You cannot because of your sins do enough good or be good enough to save yourself. But on the other hand, the other side of the matter is that there is something that you must do. And so today we want to go to the book of Acts to begin with, to see what the Bible says about the question, is there anything that a man must do to be saved? Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, after Peter has preached to these people, he concludes in verse 36 by saying, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And in verse 37, the Bible says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" These people want to know what to do, and obviously, they want to know what to do to be saved from sin. Now, it's very interesting here that Peter does not get on to them about this question. It's interesting that Peter does not correct the way that they ask the question. Peter does not look at that audience of people and say, "You're asking the wrong question, because really there's nothing that you can do to be saved." But Peter does not respond like that, does he? Peter says nothing like that. Peter doesn't correct them and tell them that they're on the wrong path, that they're looking at it in the wrong way. He responds to them when they ask the question, "What must we do?" or "What shall we do?" by telling them what they have to do. In verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So Peter is telling them the answer to their question. What is their question? Their question is, "What shall we do?" That is, "What shall we do to be saved?" Peter told them what to do. He told them to repent. Now, of course, when we look at this verse, we might ask the question, well, what about belief? What about faith? Did he just leave that out? Did he mean to say to these people that they could be saved without faith in Christ Jesus? Well, obviously not. But they already have faith in Christ Jesus. Because of what they're asking about, based on what he has preached to them, it is obviously implied here that these people believed in Jesus Christ. So he's not omitting that. That's something that is implied in this passage of Scripture. When he tells them to repent, here's a question that we need to raise. Is repentance something that a man does? Well, what is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind. It is a change of heart. It is a change of one's attitude towards sin. Repentance is turning away from sin and turning to God. Now, is that a choice that a man makes? Well, obviously it is, because Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3. Paul said in Acts 17, verse 30, that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is a command. Well, a command is something that you have the choice either to do or not to do. We can do it and obey God, or refuse to do it and disobey God. But either way, it's a choice. So repentance is something that we do. As a matter of fact, faith is something that you do. You see, folks, when a preacher tells people that there is nothing that you can do to be saved, and then he turns right around and tells people to believe in Jesus, he's contradicting himself. Because faith is something that you do. It's a choice that you make. It's not something that God does for you. You see, if a man can't do anything to be saved, then why on earth would a preacher preach to people and tell them, here's what you have to do, and you need to do this, because if you die in that condition, you're going to be lost. Well, if a man doesn't have any choice in it to begin with, if there's really nothing that he can do to be saved, then why are these preachers telling people what to do to be saved? It doesn't make any sense, does it? It's absolutely contradictory. Now, the only way out of that quandary for preachers like that is to go back to the old view of Calvinism. Because Calvinism says that God is the one who makes the decision. That God is the one who sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit creates faith in that individual and causes repentance in the heart of that person and saves that person in spite of that person's ill will or evil will. That's Calvinism. Calvinism says that man makes no choice in the matter of salvation. The Bible plainly says that a man does. Now let's keep reading here in Acts chapter 2 to see that even further. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, after the people said, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." Now you see, again, baptism is a choice. Baptism is something that we undergo because of a decision that we make. But we have to make that decision. Somebody can't just take us and baptize us against our will. We can't be forced to be baptized, and even God Himself is not going to force anybody to be baptized. It is a personal decision. That means that in Acts 2, verse 38, when the Bible says, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins," these are things that you have to do to be saved. But to make that even clearer, let's go down to verse 40. Now, I want you to compare what is being said here in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40, I want you to compare Peter's preaching to the preaching of some who preach today and tell people that there's nothing that you can do to be saved. Look at Acts 2, verse 40. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Or crooked generation. Peter said, save yourselves, be saved. He is commanding them here. Well, a command implies that an individual has a choice in the matter. It's clear here that not every Jew was saved, only those who obeyed. Because the Bible says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now let's look at another case in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 22, we find one of three accounts of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. You'll remember that Saul of Tarsus had persecuted these Christians. He's on the road to Damascus. Jesus appears to him, asks him why he was persecuting him. And after Jesus responded back to him, the Bible tells us that Saul of Tarsus, who is Paul, the Apostle Paul in the Bible, said in Acts 22, verse 10, "And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." So Paul is saying, well, Lord, what do I have to do? Now, some look at this and say, well, what happened here then is that the Apostle Paul was saved on the Damascus Road. And then when he got into Damascus later, he was baptized, and he was baptized to show that he was already saved, and then he was sent out to preach. That's not what happened. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 that a man named Ananias came to Paul, and here's what he said. Now, this is 3 days after the vision of the Lord on the road to Damascus. You see, if Saul was saved on the Damascus Road, then we wouldn't have this verse in Acts 22:16, because Acts 22:16 plainly teaches that Saul of Tarsus was not saved on the road to Damascus. He was saved right here in this verse. Acts 22:16 says, "And now why tarriest thou?" What are you waiting for? "Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now let's go back to what happened here on the road to Damascus. Saul of Tarsus asked Jesus, "What shall I do?" And the Lord didn't say to him, "Now, Saul, you can't do anything. You shouldn't be asking that question. You've got it all wrong. It's not a matter of you doing anything." That's not what Jesus said, is it? Here again, we find a man asking the question, "What shall I do?" And Jesus said, "You go into the city of Damascus, and there you will be told what to do." Well, he went into the city of Damascus, and he was there 3 days. And when Ananias came to him, he was praying. Saul of Tarsus was not saved by praying, folks. He had already been praying when Ananias got there. And yet Ananias told him that he needed to wash away his sins. So the calling on the name of the Lord here is not praying. Saul had already been doing that. Calling on the name of the Lord here is obeying the Lord and being baptized. Because in Acts 22:16 he said, "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now here today, we have looked at only 2 examples that show that there is something that we must do, not only can do, but must do to be saved. So if you can't do anything to be lost, to get into a lost condition, and that is the doctrine really that is behind this whole thing that these same preachers actually do believe and teach. If you can't do anything to become lost, and you can't do anything to become saved, then that makes God responsible for us being either saved or lost. And that, my friends, we have shown today, is not biblical.